Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Otto Loos.
Still here, John, and took my nap, and I'm all set.
And we really just ended a wonderful interview with Kate Beckman, who has been on the show before, really is a tremendous artist. I've seen other performances she has done, and I do look forward to going Thursday night because the connections she's putting together here, I think it'll be fun. It really, you know, for anybody in the audience and anybody listening, it'll be a good evening. No
food
question.
Food is a good thing.
Food helps. Food helps. Our next guest, it's also another wonderful, interesting topic. It's Dr. Patricia Bamba. And Dr. Bamba is Vice President and Medical Director Geriatrics for Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield. And National Healthcare Decision Day was April 16th. Mm-hmm. So, but it never should be a day. Healthcare decision should be every day of the week whenever it's appropriate to sit down and talk. And in your papers, there's a quote, "It always seems too early until it's too late." And I think that says it all. I do seminars. We'll talk about that with some of this stuff. And how many times you get a call? What do I do now? What happened?
Well, it is so important to have a conversation ahead of time. And while April 16th is National Healthcare Decisions Day, this is the 10-year anniversary of celebrating, and we're celebrating all week, so we're still celebrating today. But you're absolutely right. It's a time that you have to prepare for future medical care when you may not be able to make decisions, and frankly, none of us ever know. Any one of us can be a victim of acute illness or injury, and we need to take the burden off our family by sitting down and have a conversation.
Absolutely. What is your role at Excellus?
So I've started Excellus as a geriatrician, improving the care of elders throughout their lifespan, but particularly focused on people with advanced illness, and particularly at any age, okay, particularly at the end of life. Because and in that role, we see people thinking, I have enough time. It'll be another day. I'll put it aside with all the other important paperwork. And I've had some seniors think that if they do it, it will make death happen, which is farthest from the truth. And I would always say in my private practice before I came to work at Excellus, I started doing this when it was available, and I've updated it many times, and I'm still here to talk about it because you never know.
Right. I agree. I have a very dear friend. And this is true. I'm a financial advisor, and I do a lot of work with seniors. And I have a very dear friend who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 6 or 7 months ago. And I was wrong. So right away, let's get together. And some things were done, and we're doing some more stuff. And I knew it would be taken care of one way or the other. And I said, don't worry. We have, you know, they gave her 2 years, 3 months. And it was and I think maybe because it was my friend, I'm saying, oh, relax, relax, knowing that whatever she wanted to get done will get done even after. Not honestly, shocking that within 3 months it was over.
Yeah, pancreatic cancer for 2 years is...
It's a very, very bad illness. But one of the things that you raise as a financial planner is people do plan oftentimes for finances, or they look at their will and think about what will happen with my material possessions. And they think they have the time to be able to do for this healthcare planning because they think, I'll always be able to make my decisions. And frankly, when people get seriously ill, the majority of time in an emergency, they don't have the ability to speak for themselves. And
I agree.
We have to turn to someone as physicians to be able to guide that decision making. And everyone wants to do what is important to that individual. What makes life worth living for them? What matters most? And that's really that's really what should guide the decision making. Mm-hmm. And it's best to do it with someone you trust to make decisions.
Right.
I had about 2 months ago what I called a family powwow, and my background is my first wife died of pancreatic cancer.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
At a young age. Okay. And and my current wife's husband died of cancer at a young age. So we ended up with a blended family of 6 children who were young at the time. But we have always talked openly about, because we've both accepted the fact that something can happen to anybody. We are all not going to be here 100 years from now. That's a fact. whether you like the idea or not. And the family powwow was one of the best things we ever did, because you can have little dribs and drab conversations about things like, what if you got sick, what about a nursing home, or how far do you want to go, or, you know, these are all unpleasant topics.
Right, I agree, 100%.
But you're absolutely right. In fact, and it's wise counsel for those that are listening today. It's something that my mom suggested as well, as far back as 1993, when the concept of having advanced directives first came out. And we sat together, and she asked if I would be the person that would stand in her shoes and make decisions, not according to what I would want, but really based on what was important to her. I said, sure, Mom, I'll do it. We also said, what if we're in a car accident together and neither of us have the ability to make a decision? We need a backup. So I'm the oldest of five girls. I said, let's talk through the right characteristics for the person that can stand in your shoes. It's someone that can separate what's important to them versus what's important to you. They'll make decisions based on what's important to you. They'll be available when when it's necessary, and most importantly, that they're able to manage conflict. Mm-hmm. And conflict arises within the family, and also can be conflict between the family and the healthcare team. So that person has to manage it, and also be a good communicator to the rest of the family, because when people are seriously ill, and they may recover after a period when they can't speak for themselves, or they're dying, there's so much emotion, and conflict can arise, and that person has to be able to manage it, but also communicate what's going on, because it's a family event.
Right.
One person's dying, but there's really a family that's involved. And if it's not done well, families have a hard time down the road, and that's why it seems too early until it's too late.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, yeah.
Some people, you can have these kinds of conversations, and they kind of take the attitude, well, my children will take care of that. They'll worry about it. Well, if that's what you want your legacy to be, and then have a family that's left here with a lot of conflict, and maybe they don't talk to each other, if that's what you're looking for, then
sometimes
go for it.
It divides a family.
Yeah.
After the fact, mommy didn't want that. Yes, she did. No, she didn't. Go to hell, and it's over. And it's
right. And that's not what you really want to leave as a legacy of your life, I don't think.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the other thing is, when you're trying to make these decisions, they can be gut-wrenching and emotionally laden, and it's such a burden for families. And sometimes people carry those burdens for years to come, in addition to fractionating families, as you described. I think that one of the things that we did, going back to when can you do it, it's all the time, it's any day, but it's particularly when families come together. We did ours on an annual basis every Thanksgiving. So at our house, no pumpkin pie till you tell me how you want to live until you die. And no, it starts out with this kind of conversation, but it gets into what you're saying, what matters most. And, you know, if you're becoming it's becoming more difficult to live independent, you know, nobody wants to be in a nursing home, but what is the support you can receive at home from family, from church, from community, to have open conversation before an acute event occurs?
Well, when we finished this family powwow, all six of them said it was really a great thing to do, and they all said that we should do it again.
Okay, good.
And we should keep doing it. Because very rarely do you get together in a formal way, mm-hmm. and I'll call it a formal way. You can make it formal at a Thanksgiving Day, however you do it, but the opportunity to get all the members of the family together in one shot, with the point that we're going to talk about the end of life type of stuff, or advanced directives or whatever, if you don't do that in a way that it's formal, it's just not going to work.
And it works well exactly when you do it formally, and also commit to doing it periodically, because life changes. What matters most to you can change over time, and being able to, and the person you trust to make decisions can die from pancreatic cancer, as the example you gave. People get divorced, and that's not the person you may want to stand in your shoes. Mm-hmm. You may be friends after a divorce, or you may not be.
Right.
And someone that you choose can develop some problems with thinking and dementia. They're not in a position to make decisions for you. So there's all kinds of reasons to do it. The other piece is that in New York State, we have something called MOLST, Medical Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment, which is not for everyone, but for people who are seriously ill, like your friend who had cancer, where you're not only talking about what you want in the future and who you trust, but actually sitting down about what's going on right here, right now, with your health status and your prognosis in terms of limited life expectancy to say, we'll have a set of medical orders. And I think most of your listeners, and I know you're familiar with the term DNR, or mm-hmm. do not resuscitate, it tends to be a negative term, but what it means is when your heart stops, you stop breathing, and you've died. Do you want an attempt at resuscitation, or do you want to allow a natural death? And when people are so sick with cancer that has spread, it doesn't work. When people have end-stage heart disease, it doesn't work. It works less than 1% of the time. So that's not for the whole population like the powwow, but it's also important to have these very intense conversations when you know you got something bad that's here. And it goes beyond the resuscitation preferences into feeding tubes and putting tubes down in ventilators, hospitalization. And that, even in the last year of life, can change based on the kind of goals you want to achieve before the end of your life. And you talked a little bit about that with your friend, kind of putting your life in order.
Right, right, I agree.
And getting things all set.
It's amazing. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Let's take a break before we start another sentence, because this is absolutely, you know, you're wonderful. You really are. Yeah. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.